Welcome to Nightlights. I'm David Brent Johnson, and for the next hour, I'll be playing music from an alto saxophonist who spent much of his early career under the spell of jazz great Charlie Parker, but who fired the Parker sound with his own intense energy and expressive skills. It's Charles McPherson's Post-Bird Bop, coming up next on Nightlights.
Thank you.
alto saxophonist Charles McPherson doing Rodgers and Hart's Lover, backed by Duke Jordan on piano, Sam Jones on bass, and Leroy Williams on drums, from McPherson's 1975 album, Beautiful. I'm playing the music of alto saxophonist Charles McPherson on this edition of Nightlights, records that he made in the 1960s and early 1970s, during a time when McPherson's influence of choice, bebop, was looked upon as very old hat by many of his contemporaries. Born in Joplin, Missouri on July 24, 1939, McPherson moved to Detroit when he was 9 and took up first trumpet, then saxophone. He grew up in the midst of the Motor City's thriving bebop scene, and pianist Barry Harris took him under his wing when he was still a teenager, the beginning of a long and fruitful relationship between these two musicians. Initially, McPherson was a fan of Duke Ellington's orchestra saxophonist Johnny Hodges. Then one day in 1953, he saw Charlie Parker's name on a jukebox record called Tico Tico, played it, and experienced a musical revelation. "That was it," he later said. "I was 14 and knew nothing about harmony or hymn, but I thought, that's the way it's supposed to go." McPherson wasn't alone in his enthusiasm. His slightly older Detroit colleague, Curtis Fuller, once described Detroit as the only city that danced to Charlie Parker. McPherson also spent a lot of time at a neighborhood club called the Bluebird, a hotbed of Detroit jazz where on any given night you might hear musicians like Elvin Jones, Tommy Flanagan, Paul Chambers, Pepper Adams, or Frank Foster. By 1959, he would follow in those men's footsteps and move to New York City and soon begin working with the fiery, visionary bassist Charles Mingus. He later said of his time with Mingus, "I learned a lot about music and composition, and then it was also a lesson in human behavior, just big lessons all the way around. Whatever you had in you, he'd pull out. He would make you play. You would have to be dynamic in some sort of way." McPherson would work off and on with Mingus for the next 15 years, but he recorded his first album as a leader in late 1964, and appropriately enough, it was titled Bebop Revisited. From that album, here's a bop standard, Tad Dameron's Nostalgia, Charles McPherson on Nightlights. Alto saxophonist Charles McPherson doing Tad Dameron's Nostalgia, with Carmel Jones on trumpet, fellow Detroit native Barry Harris on piano, Nelson Boyd on bass, and Al Heath on drums, from McPherson's leader debut, Bebop Revisited, recorded in 1964. Championed by jazz writer Ira Gittler, McPherson made a number of records for Prestige throughout the mid to late 1960s, garnering generally good reviews and gaining notice in a 1967 Downbeat Critics poll as talent most deserving of wider recognition. But it was the era of the avant-garde, Miles Davis's second great quintet, and the emerging influence of rock, and McPherson's bebop-steeped sound struck some as antiquated. In a 1968 interview with Chris Albertson, McPherson criticized his contemporaries who, in his words, segregated themselves from certain kinds of music. "I don't understand how cats can be my age and have missed Bird," he said. "For instance, if a cat is studying psychology, he's just got to read something about Freud. A musician must go way back and listen to all of it, all kinds of music, not just jazz. All the great cats did that. They knew no musical boundaries. They knew they couldn't afford to be prejudiced. In the end," McPherson contended, "the most important thing is what you have inside and your ability to bring it out, to communicate through whatever device you have at your command. If it happens to be avant-garde music, solid. If it's Dixieland, solid." Citing his habit of listening to everything from Louis Armstrong and Bessie Smith to Stravinsky and Bach, McPherson said, "I learned from all of those cats. They all express beauty. There are still some of us who really dig love and beauty." Charles McPherson and Lush Life on Nightlights.
Thank you.
Alto saxophonist Charles McPherson, a duet on Billy Strayhorn's Lush Life with guitarist Pat Martino from the 1968 album Horizons. Throughout his 1960s prestige period, McPherson continued to work with his Detroit mentor, pianist Barry Harris, with both men appearing on the other's leader dates. Their records stand as evidence that the bebop movement could still produce vital music in the hands of skilled and passionate believers. One McPherson record, Con Alma, also featured a fellow member of Charles Mingus's ensemble, tenor saxophonist Clifford Jordan. Reviewing the album in the pages of Downbeat, critic Don DeMichael cited McPherson's complex understanding of Charlie Parker's musical approach and said, "The poignancy and conviction he brings to his playing is of such intensity that I, for one, will not fault him for sounding like Parker. The music that McPherson and company play is bebop, and though it is out of fashion in some circles, this music has a strength and buoyancy that is wonderful to behold. Charles McPherson and Clifford Jordan playing from the bebop songbook, Dexter Rides Again on Nightlights.
Thank you.
Alto saxophonist Charles McPherson and tenor saxophonist Clifford Jordan doing Dexter Gordon's Dexter Rides Again with Barry Harris on piano, George Tucker on bass, and Alan Dawson on drums from McPherson's 1966 album Con Alma. I'll have more of Charles McPherson's music in just a few moments. Production support for this program comes from the Laughing Planet Cafe and Selma Coffee House and Juice Bar, located on the corner of Kirkwood and Grant in Bloomington, Indiana. I'm David Brent Johnson, and you're listening to Charles McPherson's Post-Bird Bop on Nightlights. I'm playing music by alto saxophonist Charles McPherson on this edition of Nightlights, records he made in the 1960s and 70s, when bebop was considered a spent force by many in the jazz world. McPherson had been a disciple of the preeminent bebopper, Charlie Parker, and the fact that he played the same instrument as Parker made the comparisons even easier. In a 1981 interview, McPherson observed that everybody had been influenced by Parker. If you were to have a computer that would ring a bell every time someone played a Charlie Parker lick, a Charlie Parker phrase, or a Charlie Parker-induced musical nuance, the bell would be going off all the time, he said. Still, McPherson never tried to hide or deny the effect that Parker had had on him. And the title track from his 1970 album surely alludes to the bird tune that became such a hit for singer King Pleasure, Parker's Mood. Here's McPherson's Mood on Nightlights. Thank you. Charles McPherson doing his tune and the title track from his 1970 prestige album, McPherson's Mood, accompanied by Barry Harris on piano, Buster Williams on bass, and Roy Brooks on drums. Though pegged so often as a disciple of Charlie Parker, Charles McPherson accepted Byrd's influence as an honest force in his music and moved on. Musician Jim Sangre has written that, although tagged perhaps fairly as a bebop ghost early in his career, he soon moved past the recreative and established his own distinct, wholly personal voice. Proof of that can certainly be found on the records that McPherson made for the Xanadu label in the 1970s, as well as proof of the songbook he was beginning to build up as a composer. Here's McPherson revisiting a tune he'd originally written and recorded in the late 1960s, Horizons on Nightlights. Thank you. Alto saxophonist Charles McPherson doing his tune Horizons with Mickey Tucker on piano, Cecil McBee on bass, and Freddie Waits on drums from his 1977 Xanadu album New Horizons. Even as he made his own way, McPherson would continue to acknowledge his debt to Charlie Parker, even recording instrumental segments for the 1988 biopic Bird. But it wouldn't be right to do a show about Charles McPherson's 1960s and 70s recordings without playing one of the many records on which he performed with another primary influence on his music, bassist Charles Mingus. So I'll end with a Mingus poem and musical track from his 1972 album Let My Children Hear Music. Mingus had written the poem when he was a teenager, and he said that McPherson's alto sax part was inspired by a phone call Mingus had once gotten from Charlie Parker, during which Parker began to solo over a recording of Stravinsky's Firebird. Decades later, McPherson listened again to the piece and told jazz writer Mark Stryker, "What I'm consigned to do is not easy. There's no standard harmony or sequential construction. And look at what this is about. The emotions are foreboding, mystery, and fear. How do you play that? I don't know if melodicism is what you need. Dissonance might be what's called for. I did some of this fairly well, but there were some areas where I think I got too tonal. If I did this now, I'd be less concerned with trying to be melodic. I'd think about how to melodically handle dissonance." Charles Mingus's The Chill of Death, featuring Charles McPherson on Nightlights.
Chill of death, as she clutched my hand. I knew she was coming, so I stood like a man. She drew up closer, close enough for me to look into her face, and then began to wonder, hadn't I seen her some other place? She beckoned for me to come closer, as if to pay an old debt. I knew what she wanted. It wasn't quite time yet. She threw her arms about me as many women had done before. I heard her whisper, "You'll never cheat me. Never anymore." Darkness and nothingness clouded my mind. I began to realize death was nothing to fear, but something sweet and kind. I pinched to see if I was dreaming, but failed to find bodily form. I then began to realize death had worked her charm. Taking myself of nothingness, I chose a road to walk. I noticed death's pleasance with no one to stop me to talk. I remembered stories of heaven as I visioned the glow ahead. Two roads lay waiting for me to choose one now that I was dead. One road was dark. I could not see clearly its long stretched highway. The other road was golden and glowing and shining as bright as day. I then remembered stories of pearly gates, golden streets, or however those stories were told. I knew I'd reach heaven on this highway. If not, I'd have the gold. I took one footstep, feeling safe and acting bold. Suddenly, I realized my mistake. My chosen road turned black, bittery, and white cold. No longer was it golden glowing or heaven at its end. White hot flames were blazing, I saw the devil with his grin. I had taken but one footstep, so I turned to hurry back. But there a sound wall waited, through not a door, nor a crack. Finally, coming to my senses, I walked on to my hell. For long before death had called me, my end was planned, but well.
I closed with Charles Mingus's The Chill of Death, featuring an alto sax solo by Charles McPherson from Mingus's album Let My Children Hear Music. Thanks for tuning in to this edition of Nightlights. Special thanks to Jim Sangre and Mark Stryker. You can listen to this and other Nightlights programs and view playlists, jazz news, and commentaries on our website at wfiu.org/nightlights. Production support for Nightlights comes from the Laughing Planet Cafe and Soma Coffee House and Juice Bar, located on the corner of Kirkwood and Grant in Bloomington, Indiana. Nightlights is engineered and produced in the studios of WFIU at Indiana University. This is David Brent Johnson wishing you good listening for the week ahead. Thank you.